Please silence all electronic devices.
It's been hard to look at some of these modeling curves and to see where possibly our state and our nation may be going. And, you know, we like to see a problem, diagnose it, fix it, and move on to the next problem. Well, that's not here. Could have we have done a few things differently? By all means. Would it have changed things appreciably as we are today? I'm not so sure.
Any further discussion or debate?
From the bunker of sweatshirts at our unofficial North Raleigh Bureau, this is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Hope you're doing well. On this edition of the pod, a conversation with Congressman Greg Murphy. He's a Republican in the U.S. House, serving the state's 3rd District. That's the seat long held by the late Walter Jones. Murphy recently voted in favor of that $2 trillion relief package. We'll talk about that, as well as life as a physician serving on Capitol Hill. He's the only doctor in Congress who is still seeing patients. But we begin with social distancing efforts and a timetable for how long this odd new reality may continue.
If you look at where we are and where models tell us where we are going, I think that I pray that we are through all this and getting back to normalcy towards the end of May. Is the 30-day spacing that we are doing here in North Carolina enough? I don't know.
I heard a radio interview that you did a few weeks ago. You said in part, quote, "Your individual responsibility now is to be a good neighbor and not get your neighbor infected," close quote. How are we doing at that?
I think the message is getting out. It's getting out a lot more today than it was 3 weeks ago or whenever I said that on an interview. If you look at the diagrams, essentially the infectivity ratio of this virus is one person will infect up to 3 individuals. So if you multiply that, you can see how just introducing this virus to one other individual just multiplies tremendously. I think people are staying inside. I think they are understanding social distancing. Is it perfect? No. We live in a country of individuals, and that's what individual freedom means. But then again, just a reminder that those individual freedoms can also affect the life and welfare of somebody else. So I think we're doing a good job. Do we have room for improvement? Definitely.
I wanted to ask you briefly about two things that I've further social distancing elements that I've seen kicked around a little bit on social media. The first one is whether or not aisles in supermarkets should go one way. This is pretty weedy stuff, right? But that's one. And then the other one is limiting the number of people who can be in a supermarket at a given time. Would those be good steps? Is that not necessary at this point? Weigh in there.
No, the concept of one-way aisles in the supermarket, I think, is a great idea. You know, if people pass each other and they're not going to do it within 6 feet, I don't think the aisles are really that wide. I had not heard of that before, but I think that's a good idea. And, you know, limiting the number of individuals in a store, even though if they're spaced apart, I think has to be done also. And I believe that's what we're doing here in Pitt County, limiting the number of people at Lowe's or in a supermarket to 50 at one time. Again, it's just staying apart from one another that allows us time, or allows us rather distance, to keep us from spreading any kind of viral particles to another individual.
Congress, I believe, has now passed 3 different bills related to coronavirus and the pandemic, the most notable of which was this $2 trillion relief package designed to stimulate the economy and, you know, trying to stabilize what remain volatile markets at this point. What are the most important next steps for Congress to take?
Well, I think implementation of the $2 trillion package is what's critical. I was on conference calls. I've been on multiple conference calls trying to work with the Secretary of Treasury, trying to work with our Small Business Association, trying to put the mechanics in order so that people are able to access the money that has been appropriated by Congress. You know, do we need a 4th bill, a 5th bill? Let's make the 3rd one work well before we go putting other legislation out. Will it be needed? Time will tell. But let's make sure the mechanics are able that such that small businesses and individuals can get money and relief quickly. I think that's what's critical. That's what's our biggest responsibility as members of Congress right now.
So full disclosure, you and I are having this conversation on Wednesday afternoon, April 1st. But acknowledging that, there have been some rumblings that there are Democrats and Republicans in Congress, along with the president, who are spending a little bit more time thinking and talking about enacting some sort of new infrastructure plan, potentially that could create thousands of jobs. It sounds like you might not quite be there yet until we have a better sense of where this pandemic is and what the economic fallout is. Is that a fair classification?
Well, I think the purpose of such would be to, you know, obviously there are infrastructure needs for our nation, but it's also trying to get America back to work. What I've really tried to stress upon our small business owners is we put $2 trillion in a package, not as a stimulus, but as a stabilization procedure, as a stabilization bill to try to help us get through what I believe is going to be about 2 months of very difficult times. Now, do we have to start working on another package to help get people back in the workforce in the fall or during the summer? Possibly. But I mean, if you look at what our economy was doing just a month ago, 2 months ago, we had the strongest economy in the world, the lowest unemployment in 50 plus years. And that mechanics right there, those mechanics right there, hopefully will be able to, once we get started back up again, get people back employed. So, you know, is that what's needed, a fourth bill on infrastructure? I don't know. But again, I think it's most important that today and now we start working to make sure that the money that we appropriated in the $2 trillion bill is able to get to the people who need it in a timely fashion, not in 5, 6, 7 weeks. We need to get it within 1 to 2 weeks, 1 to 3 weeks.
Greg Murphy is a representative in the United States House. He serves North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District. You can follow him on Twitter at Rep. Greg Murphy. That 3rd District became vacant a little more than a year ago after Walter Jones passed away. Greg Murphy was a member of the North Carolina House at that point. He went on to win a special primary, second primary, and general election. We'll talk a little bit about those victories later on in the conversation. But the area that you serve stretches from Greenville and Pitt County, where you've lived for decades, to the northeast reaches of the state, Currituck County. What are your constituents telling you that they need at this point in the wake of this pandemic?
They need relief. They need assurances that we are going to get through this as a nation. People are obviously concerned, some very apprehensive that you know, their loved ones or them themselves will become infected and really suffer consequences for that. But then as a secondary concern, and not really secondary because so many small businesses people have worked their entire lives to put forth a business, and now those businesses are threatened. You know, we share in that those concerns. Those are not just germane to Eastern North Carolina. They're germane to the entire state and to the entire nation.
You are the only practicing physician in Congress, I believe. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Has the Trump administration called on you for any kind of advice or utilized your knowledge in any capacity in the last month or so?
Well, I have been in constant conversations with members of the administration, also constant discussions with members of our state administration. You know, I think they have a lot of smart people at the table, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, who are leading this effort, and I think doing a tremendous job and using all the resources that they have at their disposal to help us chart a course for the nation. As I said previously, these are uncharted waters. So I'm participating in every discussion I can and trying to lend information and expertise, not only at the national level, but as more importantly, really at the local and regional level.
You have you've praised the president for shutting down flights from China early on in this pandemic, at the end of January, I believe. Also, his handling of the borders to the north and south of the lower 48 states. At the same time, the president also initially called this a hoax. He has certainly changed his message. You referred to the optimism, perhaps, of being able to get people back to their normal routines by Easter. You know, reality here is you have to navigate the very real political landscape of this thing. I'm wondering, from your vantage point, what could the president have done differently or better in the last few weeks?
And, you know, I think there are going to be a lot of time for that, questioning what could we have done differently, what could we have done better. Have we, as a nation, made some mistakes? By all means, we're human. Are we going to make some mistakes in the future? Probably. We are, again, as I say repeatedly, we are in uncharted waters. Without a doubt, the single most important intervention was stopping the flights from China at the end of January. I fear that if we had not done that, we would look like Italy today. We would not have had time to build up resources. We wouldn't have time, had not time to get industry going and behind us. Are we still short? Probably so. But, you know, as we move forward, I think the collective effort of everybody, this is not a partisan issue, in my opinion. You know, a virus doesn't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. We are all hosts, and we need, I think, to work things together to see the community in all of us. So, yeah, could we have done a few things differently? By all means. Would it have changed things appreciably as we are today? I'm not so sure.
Your followers on Twitter have seen you several times, either in your practitioner's coat, your white medical coat, also in scrubs. At one point, you were standing next to a whiteboard. What's been your aim there?
I've been a physician for over 30 years. When I look in the mirror, that's still who I see. I'm a physician serving in Congress, and this is what I believe our founding fathers wanted us to do. They didn't want lifetime politicians. They wanted people to come out of their life experience and to bring those talents, that experience and expertise to the American people. And so, you know, literally when I had time to do messaging for my constituents and for other individuals, that's when I had it. And, you know, sometimes it was in a white coat when I was being a doctor that day. Other times it's when I was a member of Congress doing full congressional duties that day. But I think it's important. I think there's some inherent trust that people have in their doctor, in their physicians. I've tried to be as factual and informative as possible, and trying to bring, you know, things from an aspect not only as a member of Congress, but as a medical doctor. And I think that's important. I think that's important for people to understand and be able to interpret the science into language that people can understand and appreciate.
You've been a doctor a lot longer than you've been a congressman. Have you at times wished that, you know, you could just be seeing patients and trying to help on the medical front? Or have you enjoyed striking a balance?
I think it's been a good challenge for me. You know, I did this in the state house for 4 years. I was the only physician in our entire General Assembly. And it was a good balance for me to be a doctor, but also to be able to contribute to society as a member of the legislature. And I feel I've been striking that same balance. I love what I do. I love being a doctor. I love my patients. I think I've done a good job at that. And so I am pulled at times. Yeah, should I just go back and be a full-time doctor? But, you know, be honest with you, as a person of faith, I believe this is a road that God wanted me to carry down. I sometimes question what did he have in mind. But I think it's been a good thing where I've been able to contribute to the betterment of our citizens and the betterment of our society.
One other Twitter question I wanted to ask you, the sunlight issue. And I don't know a whole lot about this, but my basic understanding, so please fill in any of the gaps if I leave any of the context out here. One of your Twitter tutorials had you next to a whiteboard, and you were talking about truths and myths and just kind of working through some do's and don'ts, some knowledge about coronavirus and COVID-19. And there was a claim that sunlight kills the virus. I believe you said it does. A fact check subsequently said that we don't know that. Do we know that? How do you know that? Well, what's the deal with sunlight and coronavirus?
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, I've tried my very, very best to be as factual and informative as possible. And one article I was looking at, actually from a fellow named John Roach, and he brought up a very good point. UV radiation is known to kill viruses, hands down. The University of Nebraska, other institutions are using it right now to sterilize masks. UV radiation is known to do that. As we approach spring and as we approach summer, the length of our days increase. The sun gets closer to us and we do get more UV radiation. And it's well known that as we get more radiation, it probably will have some dispersion effect on viruses. You know, I've had a mea culpa. I've actually posted that not only on a video, but I've said that in other forums that, hey, you may have to give me a mulligan on that. I may have stretched that a little bit, but it was done if in an effort to provide as much information out as possible.
Greg Murphy here on the WDONC Politics Podcast. Congressman, North Carolina, of course, did not expand Medicaid. This is a well-talked-about topic in the last 7, 8, 9 years, really since the Affordable Care Act. When you were in the State House, you supported a proposal called Carolina Cares. And from what I've seen, some scuttlebutt on social media in recent weeks, there have been some on the left who have said that the state might have been better equipped to handle the pandemic and handle the peak, which, as you mentioned earlier, we expect to come in the next several weeks, had Medicaid been expanded or had Carolina Cares or some similar type of policy been enacted. How do you think Carolina Cares may have helped or Medicaid expansion as we think about North Carolina readying for the peak of this pandemic?
Well, I think they're mutually exclusive. I don't think one would have created an environment to make, I don't think expanding Medicaid or us passing Carolina Cares would have changed anything as far as any response that Eastern North Carolina or the state would have had for that matter. You know, we've had some hospitals, especially rural hospitals, struggling, but again, those have not been hit yet. We've had time and support from large medical systems to be able to ready those support. And so, you know, Medicaid expansion and Carolina Cares, I think that's a different discussion. Would it, if we had done that, would it have changed anything today? I really do not believe so.
Okay. You're traveling back and forth from Greenville to Washington. Tell us a little bit about, you're taking the train or a plane or a car or somebody driving you. How are you doing that and best adhering to social distancing and constantly washing or sanitizing your hands as you are in transit?
Now, when I go to D.C., I drive. It's quicker for me. It only takes about 4.25 to drive to Washington, D.C., as opposed to, 6 or 8 hours sometimes having to take a plane or the same thing with a train. I drive up oftentimes with my wife. But to be honest with you, ever since we have passed the third bill, we've not been called back to D.C., and we're actually just supposed to be in the district until April the 20th. So I don't see a lot of commuting going on. We may not even go back on April the 20th.
What's been the hardest part of this whole thing for you personally?
Personally, it's the uncertainty. As a surgeon, I don't think just one step ahead. I think 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. I'm one of those prepare for the worst, hope for the best. And it's been hard to look at some of these modeling curves and to see where possibly our state and our nation may be going. And, surgeons, we like to see a problem, diagnose it, fix it, and move on to the next problem. Well, that's not here. And so this is a long distance run. It's not a sprint. That's what's been, to be honest with you, the biggest challenge, trying to give people some vision of hope and what the future looks like and when that future will arrive.
I mentioned earlier that you are the only practicing physician in Congress, all 535 House members and senators, and you're the only one who is still seeing patients. So I wanted to offer just a quick snapshot of this and hear from you as to how you are still able to do this. And the quick snapshot is a little more than a year ago. I was with a couple of my colleagues at the North Carolina legislature, and we spoke to you on the floor of the North Carolina House. This was after the late Congressman Walter Jones had passed away, and you had announced that you would be running for the open seat. And one of us asked you casually, we said, hey, you know, are you still going to see patients as you go out on the campaign trail? And you said, yeah, that was your plan. You hoped to do it. And I won't tell you who, but one of my more experienced colleagues looked at me as we walked away and said, he can't do that. That's just not realistic. But here you are 12 months later and you are still seeing patients. How have you found time to do that?
Well, whoever that person was doesn't know me very well. Anybody that knows me, especially my wife, knows that I just don't sit still very well. I don't watch television. My day is a 14, 15-hour day normally. I take off Sunday mornings for church, but I'm just a workaholic of sorts. I love what I do, my patients. I mean, when I'm up in D.C., I'm still getting texts from my nurses about patients. I respond to them when I can. You have to make time. And here's an interesting thing is that as a member of Congress, I'm not allowed to earn any money as a physician. I can earn enough to pay for my malpractice. I can earn enough to pay my overhead expenses. But essentially, after that, it's pro bono work. I did it when I was in the General Assembly, still carried a full load, took call at night times, came back sometimes, drive back and forth to Raleigh. And so I'm going to do it. I'm a determined individual, and anybody again knows me that I'll do it. I'll get it done.
Energizer Bunny, is that a fair moniker?
I don't know about that, but I don't sleep much. Let's put it that way, too. So everybody, you know, I don't sleep much and I just keep going. So that's great.
Before we get you out of here, I'm going to go rapid fire with you. Greg Murphy here on the WDONC Politics Podcast, congressman from the state's 3rd District, covers much of northeastern North Carolina. Between November of 2018 and September of 2019, you won 4 different elections, a legislative general election, congressional special election primary, runoff primary, then the general special election. You hinted in an unsurprising way at your level of exhaustion during your victory remarks last September. What was the worst part of all that campaigning?
I was trying to juggle being a physician, being a member of the North Carolina General Assembly, and then campaigning all throughout the district. It was just a distraction at trying to juggle so many different things at so many times. You know, I had to raise money, which I, you know, loathe, hate, and despise, but it's a necessary requirement. So it was just a difficult juggle.
One Democratic member of Congress who you would like to sit down and have dinner with once we're past this pandemic?
Steny Hoyer.
Why?
Steny Hoyer is the majority leader, and we may have differing views on what politics means, but I think from what I understand, and I really don't know him well, I think he is a man of integrity. I think he is a man of balance. And he is respected by the Republican leadership and by the members. I don't think that's the same with their number one person, but I feel that that is the same with their number two person.
What has been a silver lining during this pandemic for you?
I think seeing people come together, you know, helping neighbor, you know, people going to restaurants that they normally would sit down and say, hey, look, I'm going to order takeout and why don't you just take an extra, you know, $10 on the bill just to help you out? That's what I've tried to do for restaurants. You know, this is a struggle that, again, as I said before, this virus doesn't care if you're Republican or Democrat. But I think that's the silver lining, is seeing that people care about one another and people coming together for the good of communities and the good of cities and the good of states. And I pray for the good of our nation.
Greg Murphy is a Republican congressman from part of the Eastern Annals of North Carolina. He's also a urologist and a surgeon, and he served in the North Carolina House of Representatives from 2015 until 2019. Congressman, thanks for the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless. Stay safe and stay well.
On Twitter at Rep. Greg Murphy. You can find me on the Twitterverse at J_TIBS. We'll be back on Friday with our usual review of the week's news with Rob Schofield and Becky Gray. Thanks for subscribing to this podcast. And here's another gentle nudge to give a listen to a new production from WUNC titled Tested. It's a short-run podcast about how the state is responding to this pandemic. It's available wherever you download podcasts. For Congressman Greg Murphy, I'm Jeff Tiberi, encouraging you to get outside, video chat with a loved one, keep your head up. We'll talk to you soon.